you believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Cards. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
And thank you for that round of applause, giving a little bow. Thank you. Bowing to you. Hey, hello out there. How are you? Good. Good to see you guys. Good to see you guys over here. Good. Welcome. Good morning. It's Friday morning. It's 28th of August. I forgot to mention happy birthday to my father yesterday. So, Dad, happy birthday. Not that you ever listen to the show. I don't know of a, I don't have a single blood relative that listens to this show. And very, very few of my colleagues have ever heard it. I have a few friends that listen. It's pretty funny because, like when, you know, say I haven't talked to my brother in a few weeks or I haven't talked to a colleague in a couple of weeks. So how's the radio show going? Well, didn't you hear that cool segment on da 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 da? Did you hear about the AR Ronin thing? And I haven't had a chance. It's like, oh, you suck. Anyhow, so there you go. Happy birthday, Dad. I'm going to hit real quick a couple things with listener emails. This is from a guy named Tim Frey. And Frey, F-R-E-Y. Tim, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Frey or Fry. There's probably not a third option. I'm just going to hit the highlight on this. When I was talking about NRA memberships, he says, one of the things I discovered was a membership level the NRA calls the Liberty membership. At the low cost of only $10 a year, the only thing you miss out on is the choice of magazines. But if you're strapped for cash, this really helps. So the standard membership, it's like 35 or 40 bucks or something. And you get a monthly publication and you get to choose from one of, I don't know, three or four different ones that they have, which is great. But if not, 10 bucks. Here's the thing. Not that the 10 bucks is going to do a huge amount to the NRA, but when a couple thousand people sign up at 10 bucks a pop, that's going to do quite a bit. And in addition to that, it's going to show stronger numbers. Here's the interesting thing. There's about 2 million members of the NRA. And the NRA has always had about 2 million members, whether it was back in the 1960s or today. So the sheer percentage of Americans that are members of the NRA have dwindled dramatically. Dramatically? Drastically. Dramatically. Wow, that's a sniglet of dramatically and drastically, isn't it? I have a fun one to talk about. Never mind, I shouldn't say that on RBN. So the percentages have dropped drastically in the gun-owning population of people who are NRA members. Not a good thing. NRA's been doing much more in the way of self-defense-related things, especially when it comes to the lawsuit against the city of Chicago, which looks to be bound for the Supreme Court. They're going to be reviewing the case sometime in about a month. So please, join the NRA. I don't entirely agree with everything they do, but I do agree with this. They're one of the most powerful lobbies ever in Washington, D.C. for gun rights. And that alone is worth 10 bucks out of everybody who owns a gun. So if you own a gun, cough up the 10 bucks minimum. Or you could go up to a lifetime membership. Maybe that's like 750 or 800 bucks. I am not a lifetime member. I'm one of these guys that gets the 3-year membership. Like I pay for 3 years, I get some kind of a discount. But I just have never ponied up the 750, 800 bucks. So anyhow, there it is. Please look into that. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things I found out about from some listener emails and some other research online dealing with the Castle Doctrines, a topic of yesterday. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. We'll be right back.
Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2, Don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3. Listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
So we, yesterday I put out the signal to let me know what states out there have the Castle Doctrine and what kind of some of the provisions that are out there. I got several emails on the deal, especially one of the listeners from Texas helped me out with that. And here's the deal with the Castle Doctrine. It says whether or not you're in your home. Some states also say in your vehicle, your place of work, wherever you happen to be that you normally would be. It's either your castle or an extension thereof. So basically that means the immediate surroundings in which you are in. If it is a naturally peaceable surrounding, part of your castle, part of your domain. And you do not have to retreat when faced, as a first option, when faced with a deadly encounter. Kind of a make my day rule or stand your ground rule. It's called different things in different states. And if someone intends to bring harm to you and you're able to articulate through this, you can use a gun to defend yourself. And in most of the states, here's the kicker. Not all, but most of the states, I should say a majority of the states, also have a provision that if it's ruled that you acted within the laws of the Castle Doctrine, you are immune. Get this. You are immune from civil liabilities. Now, what's that mean? What that means is if you shoot some bad guy, he, or if he doesn't make it, his family cannot sue you for being within the laws of the Castle Doctrine. And I said yesterday that California had a Castle Doctrine. In fact, I looked it up. I had actually been shown California legislation before. As it turns out, that is not true. California does not have a Castle Doctrine. The legislation I was shown some time ago, was never passed. So it was introduced, it never made it. It never got passed. Where it stopped, I don't know. I don't know if it got defeated in a measure. I don't know if it never got out of committee. I don't know where it ended. But as written, it was introduced. It did not become law somewhere along the line, however that happened. Surprisingly enough, Nevada does not have a Castle Doctrine. I talked about this yesterday. However, it seems every single legislative session, someone introduces one. This last legislative session, now keep in mind, every other year for 120 days is when the legislature in the state of Nevada meets. So they just finished one in June. That is done for another, well, it's a year and a half from now before they go in again. One of the state legislators from North Las Vegas, who's actually originally from the East Coast, I did a little research on the guy. He was born in D.C., did a lot of things out east, went to college out east, out here. He's been in the state legislature since 1996. He introduced a pretty good-looking Castle Doctrine this last session. It did not go up for a vote even. So whatever committee that they're giving this to, it's stopping in the committee, which tells me there's got to be a Democrat in charge of the committee. That's all there is to it. So I decided that I was going to look up my state senator, who, now Nevada's a very large state. I think it's sixth in size in the U.S. Population-wise, it's incredibly low. It's right around, I think population per square mile, I believe only Alaska has less population. So there's not a huge population in Nevada. There's maybe 3 million people in the entire state. And the Las Vegas Valley in Clark County comprises slightly over 2 million of those. The rest of the state, now that's 650 square miles, the Las Vegas Valley, 650 square miles. The rest of the state, which encompasses millions of square miles, has maybe a million people, probably a little less. Anyhow, my state senator is up in Fallon, Nevada, which is a good about a six-hour drive from me. He encompasses down as far south, even into Clark County, all the way up from Churchill County, which again is a little bit further north. I lived in Fallon for a couple of years. And coincidentally enough, the guy happens to manage, he has an ownership stake in the local radio station up there. So my intent is to contact him and see if he would sponsor a castle doctrine and start working towards it right now and see if he could drum up some support, public support for castle doctrine. Considering the way things are going right now when it comes to firearms and self-defense, it's a hot button topic. And if you write it now and you garner support, especially from the state senators who are not up for re-election, that's about half of them. The representatives and the standard and the state house have to get elected for every single term. But the senators are elected for two terms, half this time, half next time. He got one re-election about a year ago, so he's good to go for the next session. So he would be a great person for me to hit up and see. I've never talked with the guy, but I'm going to try. I'm going to see what we can do about getting just a lock, solid, tight castle doctrine on there. And maybe on top of it, a reaffirmation of essentially Second Amendment rights here within the state. So let's see how that goes. Speaking of states, in Montana, now, pardon me, one second. Had to hit the mute and clear that up. In Montana and in Tennessee, they both passed laws in those states. In Tennessee, it already took effect. In Montana, it takes effect in another month or so, where any guns, gun accessories, ammunition that would otherwise need to go through channels and paperwork dealing with the ATF, if as long as they're built, designed, sold, and meant to stay within the state of Montana or the state of Tennessee, respectively, they're immune from any federal regulations on a 10th Amendment right. So Montana is preparing to challenge U.S. gun laws. This is an issue where the federal government has no business. And this piece is written by a guy named Bob Unruh, and I believe he's with WND, World Net Daily. Supporters of the first-of-a-kind law in Montana that declared weapons or ammunition made and kept in the state were exempt from federal rules are preparing for a court challenge to the federal government's insistence it will regulate those items. The Montana Shooting Sports Association and the Second Amendment Foundation have formed a strategic alliance which plans to litigate over the Montana Firearms Freedoms Act. The bill was passed by the 2009 Montana legislature and signed into law by Montana Governor Brian Schweitzer. Supporters of the first-of-a-kind law in Montana that declared weapons or ammunition made and kept in the state were exempt from federal rules are preparing for a court challenge to the federal courts. I'm sorry, why is this doubled up? This bill, here we go. I'm sorry, I don't know why I got that doubled up on here. WND reported this spring when Montana drew a line in the sand and challenged the federal government to follow the U.S. Constitution with the law which exempts from federal regulation any gun accessory, or ammunition made in the state and intended for use there against the state of Montana. The law provides guns and ammo made, sold, and used in Montana would not require any federal forms. Silencers made in Montana would still be fully legal and not registered. And there would be no firearms registration, serial numbers, criminal records check, waiting periods, or paperwork required. Not they wouldn't do it, but it wouldn't be required. The idea is spreading quickly. Tennessee already has a similar law, and similar plans have been introduced in Alaska, Texas, Florida, South Carolina, Minnesota, and Michigan, as well as Utah, saying we're going to see what happens in these other states, and we may do the same. Lawmakers in nearly 20 other states have such plans in the works. So, they are looking to challenge us in court. Now, here was my contention. The one of the deputy directors, some goofball scumbag jackass over at ATF, sent letters to the FFL holders, the federal firearms licensees in Montana and in Tennessee. And what they did was they said, the federal law preempts anything that the state said. So regardless of law, you're still going to be required to do this. Period. That's all. Well, the ATF has authority over someone who is a licensee of that organization, of that bureaucracy. If I go to the ATF and I get any kind of a license, that means I have to follow all of their rules and regulations. I can't go off and do my own thing. I can't partly follow their rules and regulations and then not do others. I have to follow their rules and regulations. So the key here is to making this work in Montana and in Tennessee is to not be part of that. You need to start a whole new in-state industry. You have to have gun manufacturers that otherwise haven't made guns are not FFL holders. or are willing to give up their FFL license and make guns just for the state. Now, that might be a gun manufacturer opening a new company under a new corporation separate from their other umbrella that's incorporated by an FFL regulation and say, hey, here's a new group of people, new tooling. We're going to get you guys set up. However, you're a separate corporation. It might be, the corporation might be run by the same people, but it's going to have to be completely different, different set of books, different set of everything. It might be the same people, but different books. And then they could start making guns just for the state of Montana, just for the state of Tennessee, respectively. Same thing with accessories such as silencers. If you are a Class 5 manufacturer, I think it is. Maybe it's a Class 7 manufacturer. I believe it's Class 5. And you are in Montana, and you make silencers. You couldn't do this without having to give up your FFL and start a new company. Or someone, you could train somebody else up to do it and let them do it. Same thing with the people who are going to be selling these items. You can't already be selling guns with a FFL. You'd have to start selling new stuff. A lot of hardware stores sell guns. A lot of hardware stores do not sell guns, especially in rural areas. The ones that don't sell guns would be perfect opportunities for these guys to sell Montana-only guns to Montana-only people. That's what you need to do. Then you supersede the ATF regulations, and you're going by the state regulations. I love to see this kind of a thing. Stay tuned. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
I'm sure you're all aware, if not, I will make you aware right now, that in England, jolly old England, in Great Britain, as it were, for about 500 years now, there's been virtually no personal ownership of firearms for about 15 years. No handguns of any kind, and rifles and shotguns only on a very, very limited and highly regulated basis. There is essentially no right to self-defense there. And in addition to that, it's so strict that the British shooting team must leave their own country to practice because they can't shoot their guns within that country. That tells me that they shouldn't even have a shooting team. That, you know, if an event requires guns, but you can't have these guns in a country, well then, goodbye. That's, I guess, my feeling. It's kind of a punishment for them. You're being railroaded there. So here's a little story. Great Britain has long been held as the shining example of what can be accomplished via gun control. Handgun ownership is all but unheard of, and rifles and shotguns are tightly controlled, and citizens require a good reason to be issued a permit to own one. Historically, self-defense has not been considered a good enough reason to own a gun. Now, the Daily Mail reports that while law-abiding citizens have been nearly universally disarmed, the criminals have not and flaunt their power. According to the Mail, the level of violent crime in Britain has risen by 70%. Gun crime is up by more than half, and there are more than 100 serious knife crimes each day, with fatal stabbings having reached the highest level on record. 100 serious knife crimes each day. There are many explanations offered for the rise in crime. Family breakdown, devaluing of marriage, welfare as a way of life, increasing unemployment, increasing drug use, and the rise in power of street gangs. Despite this blunt portrayal, they failed to note one important thing, that disarmed citizens are at the mercy of the criminal element. They say that carrying weapons is becoming the norm, but not by the law-abiding. Only the criminals have the weapons because the government gave everyone else a choice. Be a disarmed victim lying your life at the mercy of the lawless, or becoming lawless yourself. Sadly, they now must reap what they sowed. So there's a little tidbit for all of you people who believe that guns don't belong in society. What will actually happen? To have this fantasy of, if there were no guns at all anywhere in the world on planet Earth, the world would be a better place. Let me explain to you something. God created man. Sam Colt made them equal. Let's say there were no guns. All right. So now somebody attacks you with a knife or a bat. What should your response be? Should you then also grab a knife or a bat to combat these guys? That would then put it into the physically superior person in the fight shall win. And physically superior doesn't necessarily mean the biggest or the strongest or the youngest or the healthiest. Physically superior could also mean technique-wise. I mean, you might be 5'4", 130 pounds, and you're going up against someone who's 6'1", 210 pounds. But the 6'1", 210-pound bad guy, let's say that's the bad guy, might not have much training with a baseball bat. You, on the other hand, have a lot of baseball bat defense training. So therefore, your skills, your physical skills are superior. Although you might be smaller in stature and have less meat on your bones, less weight, you might have the physically superior techniques, and you will prevail. So is that what you want to do? Is that the way you want to have things going on? What happens when you become 76 years old and four or five punks break into your house? What do you do then? The only way to defend yourself is with a gun. Even so, even if you don't have a gun, there are no guns. The bad guys are going to rain. Like in here, they said over 100 serious knife wounds every day. Every day. That means that the bad guys are getting pretty good with knives. And I have to tell you something. There's a lot of you out there who just don't understand this. You just don't know. And there's several who do. I'm sure that there's a small percentage who do. If you get into a fight with somebody with a knife, it is, pardon the expression, it's going to be a British expression, a bloody mess, literally. The psychological deterioration that will happen with you if you are not prepared for such an encounter is shocking. So if there's bad guys in Great Britain that are doing this on a regular basis, they have become numb to the effects of jabbing somebody with a knife and experiencing what leaves the human body. There's certainly ways to do certain techniques with knives that don't allow an escape of a bunch of blood, but that takes a lot of training and somebody really knows what they're doing. I happen to have gotten some training from a guy who does that. Not much. A little bit of training from the guy. But he is like a Yokozuna of the blade. Guy is unbelievable, and tremendous respect to him. More to come after the break, guys. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
You know, I love that song. I just want to get up and start kicking somebody's ass who deserves it. Usually somebody within the federal powers, the people that really don't like our guns and do their best to try and quell our rights. That song makes me just want to get up and start kicking their ass. Okay, speaking of federal powers, let's talk about standing up to unchecked federal powers. There's a libertarian activist and radio host by the name of Ernest Hancock, and he fired up concern about right-wing extremism around the country last week after he revealed that CNN's Rick Sanchez He revealed to CNN's Rick Sanchez that he had planned an interview with someone who carried an AR-15 rifle to the protest outside de facto President Barack Obama's August 17th appearance in Phoenix. And by request, Hancock explains his motivations. Let me read this to you. This is from Ernest Hancock. In 1994, I learned that holding a sign, "Legalize Freedom, Register Libertarian," at a Janet Reno speaking event would get you arrested by Phoenix police. I was quickly released with no charges and returned to the event. But it was clear to me that a young man that we were, I'm sorry, it was clear to me as a young man that we were on a very dark path. One tool to legitimize this dark path was the filing of a ballot initiatives that would inject into the political discourse some concepts such as Second Amendment rights, otherwise ignored during election cycles. One of those 1994 initiatives was unrestricted concealed carry of firearms, which evolved into Arizona's permit system. SAFE, the Second Amendment is for everyone. So what they call it is SAFE. SAFE was the political action committee that was created to support this initiative. Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, also known as America Sheriff, called to inform me that SAFE and I were at the top of a state-by-state listing of militias created by the Southern Poverty Law Center that had been sent to every local law enforcement agency in the nation. Fortunately, Arpaio knew me well enough to know I was not a danger. Ironically, it was after this that I bought my first gun. Okay, so he didn't even own a gun at the time. Then I saw a very close friend incarcerated for more than 5 years in the infamous Arizona Viper Militia case of 1996. Those of us who knew the defendants knew they were an easy target because their views were considered too far out of the mainstream. But it would take lies and a willing media to accomplish the demonizing and conviction of a friend we knew to be peaceful. Now keep in mind all this during the Clinton administration. The Viper Reserve was created to document the case and to archive it on the internet. This included a $5 million lawsuit in 1998 against Janet Napolitano for her role as prosecutor in the case. The lawsuit was eventually dismissed by a federal judge. Now, Janet Napolitano, now in charge of the DHS, former governor of Arizona, at the time was a prosecutor. William Kostrick's decision to bring a firearm to a protest outside of de facto President Obama's August 11th healthcare town hall in New Hampshire was enough of an opportunity for the same people surrounding the Viper case in Washington, D.C. to repeat the rhetoric of threats from the Arizona militia. Rahm Emanuel was a senior advisor to President Bill Clinton at the White House from 1993 to 1998, and Napolitano, now head of Homeland Security, was the Viper prosecutor. The Southern Law Poverty Center made a Phoenix visit recently, and I was getting a very strong feeling of deja vu. When making my plans for Obama's Phoenix visit, these recent events prompted a call for me to the Phoenix Police Confrontation Prevention Squad. People I respect in the Phoenix Police Department understand why I would be concerned about the same rhetoric we all experienced 13 years ago with the same people and even more powerful positions of government with the new unchecked powers. Our respect for each other has improved over the years, and we have come to understand each other's concerns. I would bring my personal firearm to the planned protest outside of the Phoenix Convention Center, broadcast my radio show live, and the Phoenix police would protect my right to do so. This inspired others to do the same, including a peaceful young black man with an AR-15 who wanted to make it clear that the increasing financial enslavement of his generation would eventually be resisted. As expected, the Viper militia case was resurrected, and for all of our protection, it needed to be. And the perception that local law enforcement and individual rights are now on the same side makes us all more secure. So again, that's a little tidbit, by a very conservative talk radio host named Ernest Hancock in the Phoenix area. And I've got to tell you, bravo, Ernest. Bravo. Because you did your homework, you got things lined up before just going and doing something. I am the type of guy, well, I just throw it out there. And, you know, I lay it out there, and if somebody goes to try and chop it off, I'll deal with it then. I don't try to prevent the guys from coming out there trying to get me very often. I just do things. But that's, I guess, kind of the shock and awe part of me, the way that I do stuff. If I have a right to do something, I just do it. And then I go checking with people. You guys will remember Ed Winchester, my good friend from last week that sat in with me. Now, one of my many nicknames for Ed is the Judge. I give him nicknames based on my conversation with him. Certainly since he was in the remake of Planet of the Apes back in like 99 or 2000 with Mark Wahlberg, he gets the term Monkey Man often enough. Plus, he resembles a bit apish when he actually eats a banana. That's always funny. Anyhow, there's a little jab for you, Ed. Good morning, by the way, brother. Sometimes I refer to Ed as the Judge because Ed is able to sit back, and unless you really, really, really get Ed steamed, he is a very, very level-headed person. Even when he's really steamed, he's pretty level-headed. I, on the other hand, I snap. I just start swinging and doing stuff and let my mouth go. Because, you know, like they say, you have a First Amendment right, but that First Amendment right is to protect you from your government. Not the else in the world wants to hear what you have to say. All right? However, Ed is very, very level-headed on a lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, I have this here for the Second Amendment in the words of Trace Adkins here.
Excuse me? First Amendment. Son, the First Amendment protects you from the government, not from me. You can say whatever you want to out there. You come within reach of me, I'll exercise my right to give you a good old country ass whooping. Well, I'll do that. I've got.
And Trace hits it right on the head with that. If somebody comes at me with some First Amendment garbage that's a bunch of BS and it's twisted, I might just whip their ass. Now, oftentimes I'll articulate past them because they really don't know what they're talking about, as most far-left liberals do. They have a position without any actual foundation to it, and when you give them the foundation and show them what an idiot they are verbally, that usually humiliates them quite a bit. Then they start calling you names like babies. Anyhow, if I were to do something like decide to pack at an event if Obama's come to Vegas, I would probably call Ed and say, Ed, here's a state law. Here's my thoughts. What do you think? And this is what Ed's going to tell me. I guarantee it. Ed's probably going to tell me, well, you know, it's one of those things where you'll probably get your name on the radar. It's a good idea. But you've got to realize that, you know, there's other people out there. More people have been doing this. The Secret Service is really going to be up on it. What's Las Vegas Metro going to say? And, I would probably not do it. I would urge you not to because, you know, I can't afford your bail. And, he would really try to talk some sense into me about it, where I would say, you know what, Ed, I appreciate everything you're saying, but I got to tell you, there's no law against it. And I have rights. So I'm going to go exercise those bad boys like a hard-ass workout at the gym. And I said, well, all right. I warned you, though. That's kind of the judge in Ed. So everybody generally has somebody in their life that is kind of a level-headed response when there's somebody like me. I mean, I'm pretty level-headed. But occasionally, I just get it in a bug right up my bung. And I am like, you know what? This is going to go down. And this is the way it's going to be. And whenever I get that thought, and I want to bounce it off a level-headed person, I call Ed. And again, most everybody has somebody like this in their life. If they don't, they should. Someone who's informed, somebody who's level-headed, somebody who'll give you the devil's advocate point. So just keep that in mind. All right. So anyhow, I really respect this guy down in Phoenix, this radio show host, for having gone through the right channels and made the right friends in the right areas. He's very friendly with local law enforcement. I mean, obviously, the sheriff of Maricopa County is calling him and saying, hey, you know, by the way, I just want to let you know of this. The guy didn't even own a gun at the time. So that'll give you that whole goofy-ass, you know, wannabe law center, and we're going to create a list of militias, how off-base they are. Okay, how something tells me Acorn probably gives them money. Which, by the way, on Monday, I'm going to prepare a piece on Acorn, some of the garbage that they're doing with your tax dollars. All right? Or rather, more the money that they printed up and gave to the Treasury, which the Treasury gave to Congress, and Congress gave to Acorn. So it wasn't really tax dollars. It was free money. It's actually monopoly money. You understand, by the way, that $2 trillion in addition to the $7 trillion we're in the hole will be added over the next decade due to current policies of the Obama regime. Now, that is 2,000 times a billion. $2,000 billion. You realize this? Right now, every household is in debt to the tune of about $550,000. And counting, because it's $75 million an hour in interest on that debt, just so everybody understands. If you voted for Obama, good job. That's what you're getting. Okay, let's talk about gun control and the Mexican excuse. I've been putting this off for a little bit. 2 weeks ago, de facto President Obama met with Mexico's Felipe Calderón and Canada's Stephen Harper in Mexico for a get-together of North America's leaders. Since the inception of this annual meeting during the Bush presidency in 2005, many have rightly believed that the heads of states have used this powwow to sell out their rights of their people in an effort to foster North American unity while forsaking national sovereignty. Imagine that. This year's meeting was no different. Barack Obama, never the fan of our Second Amendment rights, said for the umpteenth time that the U.S. must assume responsibility for weapons that have accounted for 4,000 murders so far this year in Mexico. He believes, as does Calderon, that the vicious Mexican drug cartels are outfitted solely with the American guns, and by controlling guns in the U.S., the federal government can control the violence in Mexico. In a way, Obama is right. Because it's his State Department, his Department of State, that is authorizing all of these guns through the DCS system, the direct commercial sales, through these fraudulent end-user certificates out of Mexico, to where the State Department is brokering these deals. It's not you and I and anybody else going to a gun shop and selling these things to people, trafficking them across the border to Mexico, or taking them ourselves. That's not it. It's the federal government who's authorizing these sales to go to this corrupt little dunghole of Mexico, political dunghole, I should call it. And all of these guns, now full auto, rocket-propelled grenades, grenades themselves, hand-thrown grenades, all these kinds of belt-fed 50-caliber machine guns that these drug cartels are getting, certainly not coming from gun shops in the U.S., guys. It's coming from you scumbags that are believing these absolutely fictitious end-user certificates on the DCS requests, and you're allowing them to go through, filtering them through Washington, D.C., filtering them through the administration. So as much violence and death as Barack Obama wants in Mexico, he can directly control that by saying, you know what, approve more. They want 1,500 AR-15s? Sell them 3,000. Give them a bargain. Because that'll enforce our position where we can lie to the public and try to get all the anti-gunners on our side and say, no, it's the American citizens that are causing this, not us. So committed is Obama to this far-fetched pursuit that following the leader summit, Obama directed DHS's Janet Napolitano to sign an agreement indicating that the U.S. will work hand-in-hand with Mexican law enforcement to, among other things, track the guns, even going so far as to share information, which includes state handgun registries. Really interesting. This is a disturbing development. Sharing gun information, gun ownership information, with a foreign entity is unprecedented, if not outright illegal. Data about who owns guns in the U.S. should be none of Mexico's business. Quite frankly, it should be none of our own government's business either. The gun owner should be the only one who knows what he knows. Our leaders have been so willing to deny our privacy because they have succumbed to the false statistics. Popular ATF and media reports indicate that 90% of all guns used by Mexican cartels come from the U.S. This number is only partially correct. In one study, 90% of all traceable guns, taken from a managed statistical sampling, no less, led to the U.S. Not all guns, especially long guns, are traceable. The only weapons that are truly traceable are handguns from states with pistol permits. Most of the guns used by the cartels are not of American origin. And, you know, here's another thing about this whole deal. You go buy a gun and you fill out ATF form, a 50, whatever the hell it is. I'm not thinking about it right. You fill that out. That's supposed to remain in the possession of the gun shop. And when a background check is made, it's not made with the gun information. So if they trace these guns back to the U.S., hopefully they've got to only be doing it by the manufacturer's information. Not by, you know, we actually have a list of all the guns that everybody owns, because that would be in violation of federal law. I want to know how they're tracing it at the ATF. Somebody find out through the Freedom of Information Act and let us all know. Stay tuned.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, so I got to tell you something funny here. During the last segment, Ed's wife, Paula, and she's listening right now, sends me a text. She goes, "Oh my God, you really just sound like Ed." And she just sends me another one. It drives me out of my mind. I told him sometimes, just freaking agree with me. Ed's one of those guys that he loves to be able to argue both positions. If he wasn't in high school debate club, he friggin' should have been. Just because that's just Ed's way. It's like, hey, you know what? I was thinking about going and doing da-da-da because that SOB did blah-da-da-da-da or something. He's always going to take the SOB's position. Just as nature, I guess when nature calls, Ed takes up the other side and gives you, oh, maybe some insight that's going on. It's like every once I just say, yeah, yeah, that's what I'm talking. Go do that. Yeah. I just never hear that out of Ed. So I'm sure Paul is giggling quite hard right now. You know, I read a story earlier. I let you guys know that this last Tuesday, they did the big grand opening out at the Las Vegas shooting park. Now, grand opening, politically speaking, it won't actually be open for shooting for another 3 months. And I wasn't able to make Tuesday. I had some prior commitments to Dave Champion, actually, to handle some stuff for him. So I wasn't able to make it. And there was all the dignitaries and Wayne LaPierre from the NRA and just blah-da-da-da-da. But today, however, as soon as the radio show is done, I'm going to go home, get a couple things done, and I am headed off to Vegas to do a few things, one of which is to go out and peruse. I guess my name is on the approval list today, to go out there and actually get first-hand tour of the Clark County Shooting Park. So I am really looking forward to this. I had an opportunity about 2 weeks ago to go do this. It was three weeks ago, I had an opportunity to go do this. And I wasn't able to. And then again this last Tuesday, and I had prior committed to something with Dave Champion. And then now today, today's the day. So I'm really looking forward to this. I want to go out there and see what it's like. I intend to be working with some other guys, developing an organization to where we can actually do training out there, do real life classes. And I'm looking forward to it. Because quite honestly, the last place I worked at Frontside, they had very nice ranges. The equipment itself is really getting beat up. It's the same equipment that was put out there, you know, 10 years ago or more, 11 years ago. Hasn't been getting updated, hasn't been getting replaced. The turning targets are not state of the art. But the Clark County Shooting Park, it's supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be much better to where you can actually get more realistic training, as real as you can get on a square range. So I'm really looking forward to that so we can provide to you much better training experiences than literally anywhere else. And we're talking about a group of people that have dedicated themselves to realistic training. Now, this doesn't mean that it's like military boot camp, because it's not. We're talking about stone-cold professionals that know how to teach, not just walk the walk, not just talk the talk, but teach you to do the same without actually shooting at you. So I'm looking forward to that. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'm looking forward to hearing or having you hear from me on Monday.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.